This morning, in my preparation, I came up with a message: stand firm in the Lord and strive together. Strive together. And in the midst of reading, I came up with this little article that was found. I typed in striving together, and I go on the internet, and I found this that says, wow, I like this. So I want to read it to you. And it's called Overwhelmed Winners. Overwhelmed Winners. God gets glory when he rescues overpowered believers like you and me. Amen? Sometimes you feel like you're overpowered. You don't know what to do. Everything's just, oh my goodness, oh Lord. He loved to save the one-minded people with minimal resources. Some examples. Moses and Aaron were overwhelmed by Pharaoh's army. Slaves were of no military consequence to their armies, right? But they were one mind in their desire for freedom. They had one mind, the whole Israel nation, in their desire to be free in God. They had been in captivity for 400 years. It was time. And Moses knew that. It was time.
Yes, Lord, it's time. Yes.
And what they lacked in military strength, God more than made up for. It says that the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his people until they finally let the Israel nation go. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Similarly, Jehoshaphat and his people were backed up against the Mediterranean Sea with three foreign armies converging to press them in. Jehoshaphat decided, well, if we're going to go out, let's go out worshiping. Right? So he sent a choir out to praise God ahead of his armies. This is found in 2 Chronicles, by the way. He no doubt thought, if God wants to wipe us out, so be it. But I really doubt that he's going to allow unbelieving armies to kill a choir praising his holy name, advancing before his army. And he was right. He was right. God honored the step of bold faith that actually believed he could win against all odds, with or without an army. And as it was, the three foreign armies attacked each other. A massive self-defeat. And the army had to do nothing but praise the Lord and sing prayer. Why do we praise God in the morning? Why do we take time in this service to have a worship service? We're drawing ourselves. We had a whole week of mess ups. Right? So we come to church to get the mess ups out. And if nothing else, I say there's so many times when you just feel overwhelmed, start praising. Start worshiping God. Start singing. I know there comes a times when I'm in my car and I'm driving. There are days I drive 150 miles a day. You know, this week I did it twice this week at 100 miles one day and 120, 30 miles the next day. So I'm out there on the road a lot. I can turn on the music. I usually will turn on, I have the Bible on CD, so I'm listening to that. Or I'll listen to music, you know, or I'll even listen to Joel Osteen sometimes when I really feel like I need a good boost. But I am there, and I could tell you that there are times when I get carried away in the Spirit, worshiping the Lord. Thank God that he's able to take control of my car at times, because I can figure out, how did I get here this, you know. So, but I'm saying, that's exactly what Jehoshaphat felt. Well, you know what? There is no way I can defeat these three armies. They're on all three sides of us. All we have left is the Mediterranean Sea behind us. So I'm assuming what they're going to do is take us to the sea and drown us all. This was his assumption. So he said, well, we might as well go out praising. Sometimes that's exactly what you have to figure out. I can't deal with this. I'm backed up against the wall. So when I'm backed up against the wall, I'm just going to go out praising. You know? If this is what it's going to be, then this is what it's going to be. But I guarantee you, when you start praising God and getting into that throne room, all of a sudden, nothing else even matters. Nothing matters. The Holy Spirit's there, and the praises are there. Things are happening. And you'd be surprised when you finally come back to your senses. They're all gone. What happened? All three armies that were out to kill us now are gone. They're in a wasted. They're fighting each other. Hey, that's exactly what happened. So you understand that. So Jehoshaphat, all he had to do is praise. All he had to do is praise. We're small, but we're going to win because the Lord, with no restraints, is on our side. And the side of truth and grace is there. We're going to win because the sovereign God, who delights to save by few, has joined us on the playing field. We're going to win because we've teamed up with each other, one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel. We're going to win. You're going to win. My goodness, turn to someone and say, we're going to win. One mind. One mind. One accord. United. Striving for the Lord. Hallelujah. Now turn with me. Yes, right. Turn with me now to Philippians. We are. We're going to win. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 27. And it'll be up there too for you. And I'm going to say it in the Amplified. Philippians. Only be sure as citizens so to conduct yourself that your manner of life will be worthy of good news, the gospel of Christ. So that whether I do come and see you or am absent, I may hear this of you, that you are standing firm in united spirit and purpose, striving side by side and contending with a single mind for the faith of the glad tidings, the gospel. Standing firm, standing united. That's what we need to do. In this one verse, we have a formula for success in the work of Christ. We have a formula. And I want to take you through four things that are essential for us here at Adventure Assemblies of God to bring about our vision. And our vision, I know, is to see lost souls saved. Coming closer to God, being united with God. That's a vision that I have had for 14 years here. You know, for more than that, ever since I was saved. The vision was to see lost souls saved. And I know that should be in every Christian point's mind, is to see this lost world right out there, to see them come to the Lord. That's the most important thing that we can have. You know, and I think that's the reason why the Lord is tarrying and not coming back. Because if you look around us and what is going on around us, the society, the things that are going on, why? And I say to myself even, oh Lord, why? Why are you tarrying? Look at this world. It is a total mess. And then it comes to me, the good Lord tells me, I tarry because there's still one more soul out there. One more chance. So get out there and do what you can do. And that puts me and encourages me to get out there and to talk more. To do what I can do. To do what you can do. To be a church united together in a purpose to see lost souls saved. Number one in this four thoughts. We need to conduct ourselves that our manner of life will be worthy of the good news, the gospel of Christ. We need to conduct ourselves that our manner of life will be this. We need to practice what we profess. Come on. You with me here? We need to practice what we profess. We need to behave worthy of what we believe. We need to behave worthy of what we believe. Your life is your message. Do you understand? Remember, I say this over and over again. You are the sum total of the choices you make in life, good or bad. Well, that goes along to say that, you know, you are the message. When you walk out this door, hopefully we've had a wonderful time. The Spirit's been lifted us up, and we walk out happy, joyful, and willing and ready to battle that world out there. Okay? So when you're out there battling that world, you're going to come up against people that aren't the same as you. Okay? And they're gonna ridicule you, knock you down, tear you apart, and try to take your faith. That's what the devil's job is, right? So what you do here, you need to take out there. Witness, hallelujah. Well, I have a question. Did the gospel of Christ save you? Oh, good. Then live it. Did the gospel of Christ give you a home in heaven? I got a few of you. Some of you are still thinking about it. Young people, true? Did the gospel of Christ give you a home in heaven? Then live like it. Did the gospel of Christ bring you forgiveness? Some of us need a lot of forgiveness, right? Then I tell you, be forgiven. Do you understand that you're your worst enemy? God has already forgiven you. God has already forgiven you. Once you ask it, it's, you know, that's how quick it is. You know, blink your eye, you're forgiven. Blink it again, you're forgiven. See what I'm saying? That's how quick God forgives. Now, humanity doesn't forgive. And I see it over and over again in my job and in my walk in life where people have a hard time forgiving. Yeah. Amen? Amen? You've done me dirty. I'll never be able to forgive you. Well, from what I read in the gospel, if we can't forgive others, then we can't. What is that? Yes. You understand? So to learn that concept, then we need to learn to forgive others. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through, what that person's done. Well, I don't really care. You know? I do know that if you can't forgive him, then your God, your Heavenly Father in heaven, cannot forgive you. Because he says, if you can't forgive someone you see, how can you forgive? How can you be forgiven of someone from heaven that you don't see? We see God in our and in the spirit. We see God in our heart. You know, but God forgives, and there's no holding back on his forgiveness. So I look at that question and I say, then be forgiven. Will the gospel of Christ save others from hell? Let's try that in unity. Let's try that in unity. Will the gospel of Christ save others from hell? Okay. Well, there's always a condition, but that doesn't, we're not to look at that condition, only God is. If he will save them, he will do it. But the Bible says, how will they know what salvation's like if they're not told? Then go and tell them. Then go and tell them. Do you understand? I mean, isn't that good? I've just given you one point of this one verse. This one verse. And the point is, we need to do something. We need to be unity. We need to have unity of faith. Also, we need to be able to go out there and tell people of this saving grace. You know? All of us were wretched sinners. Right? All of us have our own sins that we have had to ask God to forgive us of. And guess what? He forgave you. So if that's the point, then we need to go out and tell the world. If nothing else, tell them of your experience. If I can't tell them what they have, but I can sure tell them my experience. This is where I was. I was a wretched sinner. You don't even know some of the things I'd done in my wretched life. But the good Lord saw fit to save me. And if he can save this wretched sinner, he can definitely save you. Amen. Amen? Come on. Number two, we must learn to be in partnership with one another, standing firm in a united spirit. Do you understand that? As I read that, I was turning to different scriptures on unity and understanding unity. And I came to this and I said, wow, I like this. So I want to read this to you. And and follow me and it'll be up there. I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified. But this is found in 1 Peter. I sure like Peter. Peter, even though he had his little faults, he could sure lay it down the way it needed to be told. Amen. And I like it when he got here in 1 Peter, and it was in chapter 5, and it starts at verse 6, and it says, therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in a fierce anger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
That's his job. I always like to look at that. He might roar around. He could be that lion roaring at you, but he's toothless. He's toothless. And all he can do is try to gum you. And I'll tell you something, gumming you is not going to do a bit of good. Hallelujah. So look at him. When you see that roaring lion at you again, just understand all of his teeth have been pulled out by God. So he has no strength in any Christian. Hallelujah. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, not all of you wanted to hear that, I'm sure. Okay? But he's telling you, Peter's telling you that you're going to go through some things, right? Amen? Okay? The God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, established and ground you securely and strengthen and settle you. Do you understand that? I read that and got so excited I shouted in my office. I said, hallelujah! You know, we need to learn to be one spirit, with one mind, and striving together steadfastly. Do you understand that? The secret of standing firm in the faith is fellowship with other believers. Why do you think we need that fellowship? Strength. Virility. Yes. We must stand together. There must be cooperation if we are to accomplish anything for God. Let us consider the power of unity. How do we deal with the uncertainty of this world we live in? I suggest that as committed Christians, we need increasingly to stand firm in our faith in God, who alone is certain and unchangeable. God existed before the universe was even created. He will exist after this present heavens and earth are destroyed. He does not change. He is all powerful and all good. He is faithful. He is far bigger than any difficulty or problem with which we might be confronted. Amen? Psalms 46:1 declares, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. God sometimes takes us out of our trouble. Sometimes he does. But more than often, he helps us get through it. He is with us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalms 23:4 says. When we pass through the waters or the fire, God is with us. Isaiah 43:5 says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God is with you always. He will never depart from you. He will never leave you. He is with you no matter where you're at. Hallelujah. In a world where everything else seems like quicksand, God is solid bedrock. In a sense, today's uncertainties are good if they lead us to depend less on ourselves and more on God. Do you understand that? Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 1:9 of extremely difficult things that he went through, and he said, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Hallelujah. Especially when times are confusion and uncertain, we need to follow what Psalms 3:5 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. Trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to learn to trust in God no matter what we're going through. Don't lean on your own strength, on your own resources, on your own cleverness, of your own human instructions. Stand firm on God's strength. If we are to trust in the Lord in this way, we need to know beyond the shadow of a doubt who God is and what our relationship to Him is. We need to have a clear faith and to stand firm in that faith. In a world which tells us that there is no absolute truth, no absolute morality, no absolute good or evil, we need to be quite sure of what we believe and what we stand for. Do you understand that? You know, maybe this lady that's in jail today because she wouldn't give out marriage license. You know, I understand she's an elected official. But I also understand that if her faith is put to test, she's got to stand firm. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what I think that we need to do as Christians? Is stand firm with her. She is setting a precedence on God, not on man, but on God. And if we give in, look what happened when we gave in to prayer. Marilyn Herrera. Look what she did. She took prayer out of the schools, and look at what schools are today. They're a disaster. And if we give an inch, the devil will take a mile. We need to learn not to give. Our America was founded under God, and we need to give back to God. Hallelujah. And if this is what it takes, so be it. So be it. Pray for her. Pray for her. Give her the encouragement that she needs through the church and prayer. I believe that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh. There is power in unity when two or more are pulling in the same way. You understand? What happens if you pull in two different ways? That unity falls apart. And see, this is exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to bring discord in the family. He wants to bring discord in the church. Now, I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church. The church of God. And it's not a denomination. Please, let's don't put denomination into God. I tell this every day when I'm meeting people. They ask me, what's your denomination? I say, you know, it doesn't make a difference what I am. It makes a difference of what I believe. It makes every difference of my relationship. So let's get church out of the picture and let's talk about relationship. Where is your relationship with the Father in heaven? Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. That's unity. When we start pulling, well, you're not assembly, or you're this, or you're that. Well, then we're pulling apart. We got to stop pulling apart and start pulling together. When we pull in the same direction, things will happen. When we pull in opposite directions, things won't happen. Woo! Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let me give you a little fact on kindness. You ready for this one? Once, how many of you know Kellogg? You know the cereal, the big cereal? Well, William Kellogg of Kellogg Cereal fame was motoring across the country. His roadster became stuck in the mud. Now, this was in 1915 when travel was unbelievably inconvenient. A farm boy tried to help, but the problem was too much for him and his team of horses. The boy's father showed up with another team, and they pulled the car out safely. What do I owe you? Asked Kellogg. The farmer just looked at him. And William finally asked the boy, Doesn't your father hear well? The father answered, oh, I hear all right. But I was trying to recall where I've seen you before. About 25 years ago, my wife was very ill, and our local doctor advised me to take her to the Battle Creek Sanatorium. She was there quite a while, and I began to run out of money. In desperation, I went to your office, and you assured me that my wife would never lack for treatment simply because I ran out of money. That's why, Mr. Kellogg of Battle Creek, you don't owe me a penny. Do you understand the results of that kindness? Okay? The results of two set of horses pulling that car out of the mud was amazing. You know, 25 years later, here it comes, and the payback is there. Do you understand that we need to learn to not to be kind? You know, because it's going to come back on you. Unity. One set of horses couldn't do it. Two set of horses could. Unity. Sometimes you'll be praying within yourself to get something done, or you're going through a struggle, you're going through something, and you're praying, and it's just not happening. Maybe you need unity of other Christians to pray with you. It's not you doing it yourself. So many Christians today will try to do it themselves when they have a whole church family that's wanting and willing, wanting to know, what can I pray for today? Well, there's got to be something out there. And they don't get that call, so all of a sudden they find something else to pray for. Well, reality, all they needed was that call. Well, you know, Sister so-and-so, I just not feeling good today. Oh, hallelujah! What? I wanted someone to pray for. You call. Now let's pray together right now. You know, they're probably on the mountaintop, you're in the valley, and there's got to be some in between there. So you need to call them when you're down. That's called unity. That's called being together, okay? Number three says a persistence that is determined striving together. We need to stand together and strive together. There must be effort and energy released if we are to succeed. The word strive is an athlete term that describes a team. A football team consists of 11 men on the field. It's not 11 men doing their own thing. Although, some of these football teams I've seen out there, I sometimes believe they're all doing their own thing. They haven't figured out the word unity yet. But it should be 11 men working together as a team. One man may possess the ball, but he can't win the game alone. He needs the other 10 men to block, to run, to catch, to kick, and to pass. As Christians, we should be a team and not a one-man show. Somebody, please say amen on that one. Woo! Number four, the purpose that is dominant for the faith of the gospel. The message of the gospel should dominate all that we do. The gospel is what we unite around. It's our common goal. We'll never score if we don't move the ball down the field across the goal line. Now let me give you a little example. The ball is the center. You ready? Okay. The field is the workplace or the work area that you're going. The goal is the gospel. Okay? The opposition is Satan, who needs to stop us from moving the ball down to the goal. And he'll do whatever he can. We grab a hold of that ball. We grab a hold of that center, and we give them the word of God. That's all we can do. But as a team, we come and say, well, I've been praying for such so-and-so. Can you pray with me? Whoop! There you go. Unity. We're not trying to do it ourselves. You're not trying to go out there and save that person yourself. But you've called for unity. You've called for the church to get together and pray for that sinner. That one soul. Okay? And when that one soul comes to know the Lord, then that one soul, all heaven, all the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul. So don't give up. Don't give up. Let me say that again. Don't give up. If you're praying for someone, don't give up. Because God won't. Okay? Don't give up. Question. Are you ready and willing to strive together for this vision? I got two people. Let me try that again. Are you willing to strive together for the vision of seeing lost souls saved? That's what this church is formed for. If not, let's close the doors and become a social. Have parties or whatever. That's not the vision of Adventure Assembly. It's our vision, and it's been my vision for 10 years, is to see lost souls saved. To see sparks and Spanish springs come under the fire of the Holy Spirit. We don't have that. There's no churches in this area that have the fire of the Holy Spirit. We need it. That has been my vision for 10 years. And if that vision is not going to go through anything, we might as well close those doors and become a social. In the name of Jesus, we need to strive together. In the name of Jesus, we need to unite. We need to work together in everything we have to do. Amen?
Amen.
Take this message to heart. Because I believe that if we're going to grow, and I understand, we do need to grow. Okay? There are people that have been in this building or in this church, whether it's here at Shaw Middle School or Sepulveda Elementary, that don't even go to church anymore. They've lost. You know why they're lost? And they're discouraged? Because nobody calls them up and says, hi, how are you today? And you don't even have to say, you know, why aren't you in church? No. Can I pray with you? Do you know that's probably what they really need more than anything is someone that will call them and offer to pray with them? How many of you have friends and relatives? Friends or relatives or even some enemies that need God? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because it's not up to them to call you. It's not up to them to say, hey, you know, I need salvation. What does it take? Because I guarantee you they won't do that. Okay? They won't call you. They won't make the first step. Sometimes it's to step out. We need to learn to be united. Where the first set of horses couldn't do it, the second did. Do you understand what I'm saying? Be united. Strive together as a team. This is the starting point. It takes 11 men on a football team. If they all worked on their own and did their own thing, well, there are some teams out there that are doing that, and you can definitely show by their how they're winning the games. But if you get a good football team and they're all working together, what happens? They win. Well, I'm sorry. I'm a winner. I don't want to be a loser. I want to be a winner. See? And to be a winner, sometimes we need to work together. Sometimes you need to take the time to text this pastor. How many times have I told you, my phone's 24/7. I mean, maybe you don't want to call me, but you can text me. Text me and say, hey, pastor, I was praying for such and such. Can you pray with me? Zap! Text me. I do need a new phone. My phone, I can't, I'm having to talk like this now. Yeah, it's not, it still looks pretty good though, but it just doesn't, I don't know. We're going to look at it and find out what's wrong with it. I have not thrown it yet, but we need that. We need to learn that, you know, and if you have to give your phone, your cell phone number to others in the church and give them that opportunity. Hey, if you maybe you don't want to talk, just text me. You know, all you got to do is pray with me. You know, it would be nice to have your name there, especially if it's an unknown number. I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to pray for some unknown person, you know, and don't, I will. Better believe I will. I don't care. If it's unknown, oh, Lord, pray for that unknown person. But nice if you have a name. But the main thing is we need to be united. There's an old saying, united you stand, divided you fall. Remember another saying that I have, you and I. United, unity means you and I tie. You and I tie. So we tie together. We're together. Unity. Let's take that unity out there into this workplace. Take that unity out in the field that the devil doesn't want you. If he gets you just sitting down, you can be this little old lazy Christian if you want. And that definitely satisfies the devil. He said, oh, I got them. I'll just get them so they won't do nothing. And then all those souls out there, I have. I got them under my you know, feet. But when you get out there and you start praying, you get him a little upset at you. You know? And then that shows your strength. Anybody ever got the devil mad at from time to time? Uh-huh. Okay.
Jerry, I've seen some churches, and the offenders will come there, and the people are fussing and fighting and mad at each other and won't do this and that and that. What did people...
I pastor some churches like that. What are you talking about?
What do they want that for? So if we can love one another and show them, one time this one man said, you know, I went to this church, and not one person... in my hand, but I went to this neighbor of mine, invited me over there, and man, they were giving me beers and all this other. Man, there's more love there than there's in the church.
Yeah. This is true.
So, yeah.
Take a hold of that. Yeah. Take a hold of that.
So, yes. I want to let you know that I'm not real busy. God bless me. I don't have to do a thing but worship him and take care of my dog. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I spend time listening to TBN.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
TBN 700.
Amen.
Yes, because Satan is out to attack you. The church is under, and there was one minister that was unhappy. He was in a situation. So be careful. Pray before you have the enemy. Don't put yourself in situations.
Amen. I like that. Be aware. Be alert. Mm-hmm. There is strength. Unity. And help us to strive together in the Lord. Yes.
Be aware.
I'd worry.
You're not probably doing anything. Amen. You get out there and you start, you upset the devil, and he'll turn on you. Oh, yeah. I'm a witness.
Praise the Lord. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for all these testimonies, for all this interaction, Lord, that we have in you. And I do pray, God, for this week. I pray for everyone here for this week that we will be united in you, strive together in your work, in your vision, to have that goal to see lost souls come to you, to encourage, to disciple. Lord, it's not just the point of bringing them into your fold. It's the point of training them and discipling them to grow in you, to grow with wisdom in what you want. Help us to be wise, O Lord, this week. Help us, O God, for this week to encounter those that need help. Lord, give us the wisdom on what to say to them. Lord, and sometimes even what not to say. Lord, that sometimes it's just pray under our breath for that individual. Let them open up and let them pour their heart, Lord, out. Lord, and then through that wisdom, pray with them to acknowledge who you are. God, give us that strength this week. And I do pray, Lord, this week for our church, that each one in this church will encounter someone. That will encounter a person or will encounter a family that's in need or that is hurting, and that we open our door and we pray with them. Give us that opportunity this week, I pray. Devil, you're a liar. And I know you're going to try your best not to allow that to happen. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you in advance for any contention, any animosity, anything that you might think you're going to do, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit come down. Anoint this week, everyone. Bring us back on Thursday with testimonies of the greatness, of your greatness, of what you've done this week. This week, bring us back on Thursday night, Lord, I pray. In your mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Amen.